Let's go, Jimmy Doan Show. Let's roll her up.
Woo!
Ramping
roll
up.
Roll 'em, roll 'em, roll 'em.
Got the mojo working.
Oh, now you would got the roulette.
The roulette working. Jimmy Doan Show. It's the Jimmy Doan Show.
Jimmy's like,
now I can see. Now Jack Rhodes can see me.
Jimmy Doan Show. It's the Jimmy Doan Show.
It's the Jimmy Doan Show.
Jimmy,
we're back.
It's the Jimmy Doan Show.
It's only been a month.
It's only been a month. That's right.
It's only been a month.
I didn't even check to see our stats.
How many hits?
I can't check anything. I got no internet connection right now.
Down. Okay.
But thank you very much, Counselor to be Bart, for all of the cool goodies.
Thank you, Bart.
Very cool stuff. I wrapped the package diligently and with a
carefully,
carefully with a Geiger counter and some
the dog sniffer dogs too.
Oh man, like
bomb and everything.
We brought it through the courthouse, metal detector, and everything.
Yeah, that's right. Everything, yeah, the EMP machine, the whole deal.
Look, Jimmy Smith hanging out on the Jimmy Doan Show.
You'll notice, of course, that Jack Rhodes will be heard, but not seen.
He's
a little nervous about
the poltergeist.
That's right. So we're going to actually try and be on Justin TV, is that right?
What now?
We're going to try and be on Justin TV.
We're going to try.
I think we are on Justin TV.
Are we broadcasting?
I don't know.
If you're on Justin TV and watching, and this is
all right,
the Jimmy
Doan Show, and it's today is about the 9th of August.
It's about.
Yes, it is.
It's about.
It's my birthday.
Happy
Woo!
Birthday, Engineer Eric.
Hey!
Happy birthday. Good to have Jack Rhodes back again.
Yeah, it's good to be back, Jimmy, as always.
And Counselor Curtis.
How's it going, Jimmy?
That's doing well, and you're here in town now permanently.
Yeah, that's what it looks
so
like.
So now they can take us all out with one.
One large
nuclear,
you know, unfortunately.
Bunker Buster.
Bunker Buster, that's right. And we
Scud
got
missile.
Not to be seen here. We do have
the chicken.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
From the Hanger Dogs. Thank you.
On loan.
We got Mrs. Jimmy here. We got Ms. Jimmy's mom here.
Ms. Jimmy. Oh, yes.
Otherwise known as the Wrinkle Lady. And then the young virginal Lisa.
And young virginal Lisa.
Right.
Well, the virginelle.
It's the Jimmy Doan Show.
The Jimmy Doan Show. Well, okay, so since we've been gone a month, what's anything happened?
Man.
Well, the Hanger Dog went to Oshkosh. That was a great show.
Yeah, that was good.
And we missed it, of course. You know, we didn't get to Oshkosh, but go ahead.
No.
I mean, all kinds of stuff. Sotomayor, she got
the Sotomayor.
Right? Yeah, that was a big deal. That was,
Sotomayor.
Sodomy occurred. That's right.
Poor...
Gee, Manetti. Okay, like, and now the show sinks into X-rated.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, unfortunately, Jimmy, she got confirmed.
I got a couple of things here. We got the health care.
Oh, we got a list.
We got taxes being, surprisingly enough, taxes are being raised in various places.
Weird.
Pain clinics. Weird. Some new speculators are trying to do the...
Of course, damn speculators.
Yeah, darn speculators. That's right.
The stimulus is working, just in case you're wondering.
Oh, yeah. And the cash for clunkers, of course, has been expanded.
Everybody's stimulated. Everybody
gets a new car.
Well, they
and
ran.
And goes into debt forever.
That's right.
It's like the government. You know, they borrow the money, right? And you borrow your money from China and buy a new car. End of story.
It seems like a stimulus package to me.
Yeah.
Genius.
I like that.
I got my stimulus package right here.
Well, Jimmy, one thing that didn't happen was Obama did not get health care through before the summer break.
That's right, he didn't. And of course, we're seeing what is funny.
Could you somebody hit the applause? Eric, can you hit the major applause for that? I mean, like,
You know what's funny about this, of course, is the news, as they say.
Exactly. Carnegie Hall, please. Yeah.
The news is are the protests.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
But I mean, the thing is, it's so funny is that
the organized mobsters. They're mobsters.
They're mobsters.
They're mobsters.
They're well dressed mobsters.
Right.
And they're older. You can recognize the beauty is you can recognize these people because they're like wearing shirts and ties and things.
And hats, ball caps.
Brooks Brothers. They're the Brooks Brothers mobsters.
And swastikas, according to
Nancy
says there's swastikas.
There was a swastika seen someplace.
a swastika.
That's right.
And now they're all
terrorists, Nazi terrorists.
Well, Nancy didn't realize it was just the reflection of her lapel pin.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny?
What's that cross that's the reverse of that?
I'm thinking there's a possibility this is going to backfire because when you get these people all in the room there, and then now they're going to call out, they're going to fight, the unions have come out and said, we're going to fight violence and we're going to give it to them twice back. So they're going to send in the thugs.
All right.
And you're not going to beat up
the Chicago way.
You don't think so?
No, it's like old people. I mean, it's like...
Well, you saw the guy. You saw the conservative guy get taken out the other night on the... You didn't see that?
No,
clip?
No.
Oh, I just took him down.
Yeah.
Took him down.
Don't tase me, bro.
Don't really? Tase me, bro.
No, well, it's funny because they... they have...
Way to be, man.
They have...
It's going
to
be a good show, I can
that's
tell.
Right. He's on it.
EE's on
Engineer it. Eric has got the sounds
got
on.
Got the finger
right.
on the button.
Watch no, just, but I tell you the go. Truth, I think it might backfire because a lot of these people that are sincere about this and are needlessly upset are showing up, and to be called Nazis, you're thinking, well, wait a minute. I may be a member of the KKK, but I'm not a Nazi.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
What, did I'm Robert surprised. Byrd show up? Is that what it was? Oh.
No. Huh? I'm surprised and encouraged by the turnout. I don't care if it was organized or not. I mean, the fact is people are recognizing that the government social health care system is socialism. I mean, it.
Well, the thing about it, I've got here, right here in my hand.
Oh, what do you got?
Hey, you can actually hold it up to the camera. For
well, yeah, now.
We usually hold it up to the mic.
Oh, that's right, the camera.
Where is the camera?
They can see.
Look at that.
Look at this. Look at all this research.
By the way,
this research has been done by Jimmy.
We're live at Justin TV.
Well,
Justin.tv.
And actually, if you go to, if you go to Justin TV, you can also, you can take a look at the archive shows.
There
in other
you
words,
go.
You can actually see it.
JUSTIN.TV.
TV, right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is it? Okay, dot, I told you, I didn't put the dot in.
Dot, yeah,
no,
the old dot.
The dot thing.
No, the old dot trick.
Right.
Okay, anyway, this was an editorial, which I thought outlined it fairly well. There's been so much written on this healthcare thing. This is an opinion piece. Obamacare's fatal flaws. And let me get my
it's only one page there, Jimmy?
No. There's more than this, but I condensed it down.
Jimmy,
you got a disc over there? You got a computer disc?
Put it in 6-point font and then printed it out.
No, actually.
Is it on a hard drive?
Jimmy, actually, the deal is there's been a lot written on it, and Jimmy actually downloaded the 1,300 pages, whatever it is, and breezed through a lot of the stuff that was of note. That is, criticisms have actually said, go to page 222. Here's what's going to happen. Go to page 43. I went to see if that was right. And it's pretty close. It's pretty close. The main thing that I noticed was there's a whole brand new set of czars. Mm-hmm. Now they have, of course, they have the disinformation czarette. You saw her, didn't you? She's coming out to fight the
disinformation.
Yeah, it's a Department of Disinformation.
Mm-hmm.
Refutation.
The Ministry of Information. I mean, come on.
No, seriously. And she has been coming out.
Ministry of
straight
Disinformation.
Straight out of Brazil.
No, it really is.
Straight out of Brazil.
I'm telling you, that is what it's called. And it's the Communications Department. And this gal, well, I forget her name, but she was like totally flustered in some one-on-one meeting with some people, but here she gave a what she called on the Meet the Press or whatever it was, and of course she's just touting the party line like you're sitting there thinking she's an apparatchik from hell, you know, I mean, just typical mouthing off the script right off the teleprompter, whatever it is, has no clue what she said. But she's one of them, along with Nancy and Harry Reid, that are saying these guys are all thugs, they're part of the insurance industry, this is a pack of lies, and we don't have to listen to them. So I think that may backfire. What the interesting, though, we talk about here is the fatal flaws, and I'm going to put on my reading implements here and go through a couple of things. There are a lot of them. There are two basic points about healthcare reform that President Obama wants to convey. The first is that, as he put in an ABC special in June, the status quo is untenable. Our healthcare system is rife with skewed incentives. It gives us a whole bunch of care that may not be making us healthier. It generates too many specialists and not enough primary care physicians. It is bankrupting families, bankrupting business, and bankrupting our government at the state and federal level. And some things are going to have to change. That's what he said. That's all that he said. His second major point was, if you're happy with your plan and you're done, if you're happy with your plan.
How's that hopey, changey thing working out
for
you?
If you're happy with your plan and with your doctor, you don't have to change a thing. So what we've been saying is, if you're happy with your plan, you can just stick with it. Well, the question is, you can't have it both ways. I mean,
the system
is either an unsustainable disaster, but you can keep your piece of it if you want. And the Democrats wonder why selling health care reform has been so hard. I mean, either because they have the conflict, the dichotomy, the discrepancies, whatever you want to call it, the confliction, contradictions built into the plan. And And anybody can see it.
Jimmy, the problem with Obamacare is it's socialism, okay? It's socialism.
Well, the thing is, I'm going to go through this. Again, their effort has been brought us to the land of paradoxes. Public skepticism is warranted when the president promises to cut costs while simultaneously providing coverage to as many as 50 million new people. I mean, and they're talking, of course.
Well, it's because of new efficiencies.
New efficiencies, right, are going to do that. Yeah, well, that's right. And then, of course, he promised not to raise taxes, and that's not going to happen. He's already backed off on that. Healthcare reformers send out mixed messages on the uninsured as well. The moral imperative of to improve healthcare is what drives the passionate most liberal activists for reform. But when you read the liberal policy analysts, it quickly becomes clear that getting young and healthy people to pay more in premiums than they will spend on medical expenses is the main thing. What's the point? Point of forcing them to pay for the insurance? Which is it? In aggregate, are we trying to rescue the uninsured or bilk them? And of course, bilk them is the operative. Is reform something are doing for them or to them, the young and uninsured?
This comes back to the liberals have their idea of equality in the sense that and fairness. They want an outcome fairness. They want everybody to have the same health care so that it's outcome fair. That's not equality in America. Equality in America is equality under the law. It doesn't mean you're all going to be equal. You know, there's going to be short people and tall and and fat and skinny and.
We can change that.
Yeah, well, I mean, they are...
A well-placed guillotine will change that. the problem is you can't stretch anybody, so you have to become as short as the shortest.
I heard them say it the other day on the channel thing. They said, well, there's 50-something million people without health insurance, and it's not fair. It's like, yes, it is fair. They don't get it. They don't get the equality issue.
Not only that, and anybody will tell you, first of all, a lot of those people are between insurance, number one. Somebody has estimated that upwards of half of them are the young and healthy, I'm never going to die people. You know, they're 20, 21, 22 years old, and they don't want insurance. I'd rather have my Beamer. You know, I'm not paying up for this. I'm not sick.
Or their education, how about? You know, how about they sacrifice their money, their health care money, because they're pouring it into an advanced education right now because they're at that age.
Right. There are priorities that you do as you move along in life. That's exactly correct. Right. You at that point, you may be starting to set up your retirement account or something. But you, as you say, it is more important to pay for your kids, for instance. Right. You're having babies. Yeah. You got to pay for, formula, diapers, whatever it is. And you don't have the money left over for the health care because everybody's healthy pretty much. And you figure it's a gamble. What's wrong? We are gamblers.
Right.
You know, everybody that came over to this place was a gambler. Hell, half of them sank on the ship.
Yeah.
So my point is, of course, the question that I want to ask these people is, what if I just quite simply don't want to be in your healthcare system? I just don't want it. I don't want to pay for it. It's like as we were talking about last time about the golf course out here. I don't play golf. I don't like golf. I don't want to play on your golf course, so I don't want to pay for your golf course. And they say, but you have to.
Yeah, look, that's the whole point behind the socialism. I mean, it's a force.
Well, the thing, of course, they're talking about the big fear, as you know, is what they call the public option.
Right.
The public option is it's like we have here in Florida for the hurricanes. We've got a state mandated hurricane of last resort you can insure with the hurricane, the state run hurricane thing, which is, by the way, is broke. Is so underfunded that if we have a hurricane here, it's like the big bad wolf. I'm sorry, in the straw house, boom, it's down, and you're not getting a new one.
But we're not arguing for more funding.
No, well, that's another story, and I don't want to go there. But my point is that the public option, because they can, when you compete with a government, you compete with somebody that has a bunch of guns, and that's not competition.
And money.
And the money.
Well,
and limited funds. So my point is that how do you compete with somebody that can always offer their service for free?
Well, and Jimmy, I totally agree with you, and even Obama himself doesn't get that point. He literally came out the other day on TV, I wish I had the clip right here, I can play it, where he said, the Republicans say that the government can't run anything well, and then they say in the same breath that they're worried that we're going to compete them into the ground.
Yeah.
And he says, that's not logic.
Compete them into the ground.
And I'm like, yes, it is logic, because he's competing with unlimited resources and guns, as you say.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's no competition there.
No, he can always win.
Yeah.
Yeah, big deal. Yeah, right.
Right. So, as low as he wants to make his costs, if he undercuts the private insurers too much, everybody's going to bail on their private insurance, go over to the government thing, and then the
thing about it is, they said what they'll do is they'll tell you, well, that won't happen.
Well the thing is, that's because then everybody will be insured under the government plan.
Right. Which is, right. And
until
then, of course,
they raise the premiums through the roof.
Well.
Because then there's no competition.
Right. Well, of course, that's right. There's a lot to be said about that sort of thing as well. Yeah. Because the object is, obviously, is to get all your money one way or the other. I mean, so if they can do it through health care taxes or regular taxes or fees
money.
Or...
No, I mean, Jimmy, you know, I wish it were that. I really wish that's what they wanted was all the money, because then they could be shown to want just that, and you could prove it. Like, you hear Neil Bortz now, and he's telling people that Obama doesn't care about their health care at all. And I think that's the wrong approach in terms of the political pitch, because I think he really does care. I think he's just... deluded. He just misguided. And I think that those people are more dangerous because they really believe in what they're saying. You know, he really believes, I think, that socialized medicine is going to be better because he thinks he's going to run it in some good way.
Well, of course, he's already
on his pitch.
The thing about it, the thing I guess that I'm a little nervous about is that he's already running General Motors and Chrysler. And of course, he's running the banking industry too.
And how about
mortgage? And
Medicare
that's been around for a while. But I mean, I guess he's just so smart. This is like a big conglomerate.
It is.
And
you know,
I guess he's just good enough to be CEO of the world.
CEO of the world.
Yeah, right. I think he should be. Mm-hmm. Look, that's the Democrats' flaw in their thinking, is that they always think, well, look, if a private company can do this, then a public company can do it just as well, because it's just people. It's just the same people. And what they forget is it's over the long term, as challenges come into these businesses, the private companies have to adjust and adapt.
Right, or else they go out of business.
Right. And a public company doesn't. They just go back to the taxpayers and get more money.
Right,
so
exactly.
What you could end up with is a system in a few years where the government insures everybody to today's current healthcare standards.
Right.
At only a little bit more cost.
Right.
But, of course, you don't have innovation.
You don't have innovation, right. This is the other big flaw. People don't realize how important profit is to the advancement of everything that we get. All advancements come out of profit. So if you say, well, the government's not going to make a profit, I'm saying, well, that scares the hell out of me, because that's the only place that innovation can come from is out of profits. That's the money that could be reinvested. And now, of course, they say, well, we have the National Institutes of Health. Well, they don't have a sparkling track record either. In fact, the people that have opted out of there have done much better in the private sector. So, I mean, the point is that all innovation, all advancement of anything that we get has to, by definition, there is no other place it can come from. It has to come from profit. So the greater the profit, the better the more innovation. And that's one of the reasons why I'm always... one of these people that says, I don't like not-for-profit companies. I think they're a drag on the economy. Now, it turns out that a private not-for-profit company, if you want to call it that, actually makes a profit. And they just happen to spend it on themselves, usually, with the gold-plated houses and everything. But the and limos and everything, you know.
Well, yeah, it's like Benny Hinn, like
right.
You know, not
right.
A problem.
I don't make any dollars.
I got my G5 Gulfstream.
Yeah, right.
You know,
Benny Hinn, not for profit. Right. Well, I mean, you know, but the problem is what he does with a lot of it is to reinvest it in the business to get some more money, and not to actually do any innovation. And but so that's kind of a drag on the economy. But people don't realize what the function of government, of course, is, remembering that government is the overhead of society. It can't make a profit because in order to make a profit, you have to have something to measure it against. And if the government does all the health care, then there's no economic measurement. There's no way to determine if a heart transplant is worth the same as a liver transplant, as a hip placement or of sniffles. I mean, there's just no way to
It'll all be sniffles. The same.
Yeah, it'll all be the same, right? Well, that's the other thing. And, of course, everybody, the big fear people talk about is rationing. Well, there's rationing anyway. The question you have to ask yourself is, there's only two ways to ration things, only two ways total. One is somebody can ration. Somebody can sit there and say, you get it and you don't, right? That's right. And the other is by price.
I just rationed that one.
By price, that is. You got the money, you get the stuff. You don't have the money, you don't get it. That's the rationing. And actually, that is the way, surprisingly enough, that provides the best health care for the most people. It sounds almost a little...
too good to be true.
Too good to be true, yeah. I mean, counterintuitive. But in fact, it's been proven over the last 200 years.
Adam Smith, Wealth of Nations.
Adam Smith, Wealth of Nations. That's right. So anyway, to continue about these, as I say, the fatal flaw here, when you talk about this, I think the guy did a good job. It's written by somebody, funny name, Ponaru. And so Obama's urging, of course, the other thing is they talk about, what's the rush? Why did they want to get it before the August recess?
Sure. Well, so that none of those people had to go back and face their constituents.
Well, that was it. And, of course, then the other thing that they would...
Because, you know, right now they're back there, and tomorrow there's going to be town hall meetings, and when they go, they're going to get shouted down.
Yeah.
I mean, well, it's going to be that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and they're afraid to go. A couple of people have just canceled all the rest of them, and they're having private meetings with supporters, people that love them.
If elected mayor, my first act will be to kill the whole lot of you and burn your turn to cinders.
I love that one.
That's it.
I love that one. Yeah. Kill the whole lot of you and burn you down to cinders.
So anyway, they go through here and they says, I'm going to get to, as always, and a couple of these articles that I want to talk about, as always, the fun is in the last sentence.
Right.
As we've talked about
no
many
question.
Times before. Everything is different this time. Everything is different.
Yeah, this
except
time.
The plan. Is the same. What they said is Bill Clinton and Bill and Hillary.
It does not say that. It really says accept the plan.
Yeah, here it is. One final contradiction may lie beneath all the others. Democrats, particularly those involved in health policy, were scarred by President Clinton's failure to achieve reform in 1994. They are determined to avoid a similar debacle. So on every procedural question, they have done the reverse of what he did. And of course, it reminds me of George Costanza in the thing. He said he every time he's thought about doing something, it's always turned out bad. So now he's going to do the exact opposite. And of course, the rest of the show was how the opposite worked out so beautifully for him. he did the exact opposite of what he thought he should do, and it worked out. He got the girl, he got the job, he got the promotion. I mean, everything. And then, at the end of the show, he went back to his old way, and the whole thing collapsed. But, I mean, this is one of the great Seinfeld shows of all time. But anyway, so this time, everything is different this time. Except the plan. So they're doing everything. They said, okay, we're going to turn it over to Congress. This president's not going to come up with something, but the plan basically is the same.
I see the light.
So they mostly the same policies they thought 15 years ago, mandates, regulations on insurance companies, new government-managed markets, which, of course, is... Joke.
Government-managed.
The major difference is this time they want a public option, an insurance program open to everyone and run by the government, and so forth. It's Clinton care with liberalism. But anyway, then you get down here to the end, the last sentence. I love this. Congress may pass health legislation if Obama wants it. If it does, success will reflect the Democrats' numbers in Congress, because it's 60-40, and if they get all the Democrats online, they'll do it. Not public enthusiasm. This time, there is no barrage of Harry and Louise ads to blame. If it is health care reform's contradictions that we just talked about here at the beginning that will sink it, and should. And God, I think I that a lot so. Of people are seeing the fact that you can't have all this vast expansion, all this innovation, lower costs, no profit, and get away with it, and not raise the price. I mean, wouldn't it be nice?
Yeah, I mean, it's utopia.
It is a fantasia utopia. I mean, it's not even it's like a utopian utopia.
Yeah,
you get
people in utopia dream about this.
Yeah, I mean, right, exactly. That's right. If you were in utopia, you'd say, now really,
utopia,
if things were really good, it would be
have Obamacare.
Utopia to the Google power.
That's right. It'd be Nirvana. Utopia.
All right. I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break and then we'll be right back.
Okay.
All right.
I want to be loved.
I see. Well, I'll need some beer.
And we're back.
Hey!
Oh, okay. All right, cool.
I am invincible! Invincible! You're out!
Okay, so anyway, just to finish off, these are the first draft of the new healthcare plan. Here's the first draft, 10 things that you... this is the top 10 list.
Top 10. Jimmy's top 10. Top 10.
Jimmy, well, not mine. The new health care plan when... Number 10, your annual breast exam is done at Hooters. Directions to your doctor's office include take a left when you enter the trailer park.
Ooh.
The tongue depressors taste faintly of fudgesicles.
Oh, that's nasty.
Yeah, the only proctologist in the plan is Gus from Roto-Rooter. The only item listed under preventive care coverage is an apple a day. Your primary care physician is wearing the pants you gave Goodwill last month.
Ooh.
The patient responsible for 200% of out-of-network charges, and it's not a typographical error. The only expense covered 100% is embalming. Your Prozac comes in different colors with little M's on them.
What was that? Ba-dum-bum. Your Prozac comes in
Ba-dum-bum. Different colors with two M's
oh,
on them.
Oh, okay.
And the number one health sign you're on National Health Care Plan is you ask for Viagra, and they give you a popsicle stick and duct tape.
Oh,
okay. Now listen. I had now I had something else here that I want to share with
that
you.
That was awful.
I had something else I want to share with you.
Jimmy is not a comedian.
Michael,
that was our disclaimer there.
Yeah, no, obviously. Let me just. I want
to
share
so
something.
Not intended to
Michael Jackson. This is from the parade from a week or two ago.
Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson's death, which I don't know if you did. You know he died.
He died.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, it's. I read it
recently?
Somewhere. Yeah.
Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Moonwalk.
Yeah, that's the guy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Actually,
who knew about that?
Again, C called it. He said that. Somebody's going down.
How many C's was that?
I don't know.
A lot of C's.
Yeah. Somebody. So they're doing the. Yeah. The doctor looks like. Well.
MJ.
Oh yeah. No. They're going. After
this gels, this gels right into it. Okay, you ready for this? Michael Jackson's death prompts me to ask, was there any action ever taken against Elvis's physician, quote, Dr. Nick?
Hi, everybody!
In 1980, 3 years after Presley's death, the Tennessee Board of Medical Examiner suspended Dr. George C. Nickopoulos's license for 3 months. He was indicted for willfully, unlawfully, and feloniously prescribing drugs to Presley and others, but acquitted of all counts in 1981. Finally, in 1995, the board permanently stripped him of his license for over-prescribing. So there is a Dr. Nick. That is where, in Simpsons, you think they made it up? No, sorry.
Oh, no.
They
got references.
I can't hardly believe that the Simpsons would rip off something like that. I mean, can you imagine that? They have no shame. I mean,
That's right.
Huh?
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back on the Jimmy Dunn Show. All
Jimmy
right.
Dunn.
And we're back.
Hey!
All right,
Jimmy!
I tell you, it is like Circus City here.
Cirque du Soleil.
That's right.
Not Circuit City, Circus City.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now this is another thing you find hard to believe that I picked up here. This is across the board. Facing budget gaps, U.S. states shuffle tax codes. I know it's hard to believe. Caught with near-chronic budget shortfalls, U.S. states are scrambling to change their tax codes to bring in more revenues. Never want to cut anything. No, it's our money, Tax Federation said on Wednesday. The foundation has compiled an annual index of 37 categories of states' taxing and spending since 1937. This is the first time that it's had to update the report mid-year. Why?
First time ever.
Hawaii, for example, has recently increased its top marginal tax rate to 11%. Making it tied for first in the country with Oregon, New Jersey, New York, and so forth and so on. On the other hand, Maine, North Dakota, and Vermont have actually cut income taxes since January. 10 states have pumped up their taxes on cigarettes, and here in Florida as well. A dollar a packet went up about 2 weeks ago. Increased their sales taxes. California raised its sales tax to 8.25%, and you wonder why they're in trouble. But although the state, which finalized its budget this week after a drawn-out battle in Sacramento, also allows local governments to add to the sales tax. There are some cities in California where the sales tax is over 10%.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. So, but I love this. According to the National Governors Association, U.S. states will likely face deficits, including at least $200 billion over the next 3 years, and most are required to eliminate any gaps at the end of their fiscal years. And, of course, we had here in Gainesville, Florida, USA, our city budget discussions, and Jimmy actually went down and attended and was the only citizen out of 120,000 that bothered to go down and ask a few questions and was given his usual 180 seconds, 3 minutes, to question after 8 hours of hearings to question some of the items in the budget. And it's a joke. I mean, it was really a hoot.
Big surprise.
Well, the big surprise was the way they're closing the budget gap involves no pain for them, mucho pain for us.
Jimmy, now I want to hear your take on this, in the last couple of weeks, because unemployment ticked down from 9.5 to 9.4 or whatever.
Yeah,
it did?
I thought it went up.
No, they
manipulated the numbers.
0.1%. Okay.
Here in Gainesville, it's tripled.
They also changed the stuff. They manipulated the numbers.
Okay, tick anyway. Down. No, what happened was, what actually happened, I thought that, no, the unemployment rate in, let me think, in Florida, I think, ticked up a little bit, up a tenth of a percent or something. No, well, what happened was, last Friday, today is Sunday, last Friday the jobs thing came out, and there were only an expansion of 250,000 people that went on the jobless rolls during the previous, whatever it was, month, I guess it was. And they had been expecting twice that. So as far as they were concerned, that was a net job gain. It was a job gain.
Saved the job.
No, that's right. There was a job gain. Obama counts that as a job gain.
Well, I remember,
a job not lost is a gain.
That's right.
Well, in his original statement, it was like four million jobs created or saved.
Or saved, right.
You know, and so, yeah, me too. But here's my question, Jimmy. Do you think we're out of the recession?
We're not even close. And I'll tell you what, not even close. No, we are heading for the next. If you think this cliff we just went over, you know, a year and a half, 2 years ago was something.
That was the little slide.
We are now headed for Niagara. I mean, we have gone over the little, the
without
ripples.
A barrel.
We've done a little whitewater rafting here so far, but we're getting ready to go over the falls. And I'll tell you why. It's interesting because, and as an example, I picked up the newspaper here locally on Thursday. The entire two pages of the classified section, the first four, were foreclosures that are coming up. Now, think about it for a second. These are homes that were appraised at, you know, $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, who knows what. They're being foreclosed. They're going to be dumped on the market at half or something along those lines. If they think that they've seen a revenue loss across this country from the heights of 2 or 3 or 4 years ago during the housing boom, they ain't seen nothing yet, because those foreclosures have yet to hit the market and affect the neighborhoods. And here's the reason why. In a neighborhood, in a fairly a neighborhood that is homogenous, so it's tract home or something like that, if one home sells for, you know, $300,000, the appraiser comes through and says, well, they're all worth $300,000 now. And so everybody gets the tax revenues.
So you're saying whole neighborhoods are going to lose their value.
Because of one foreclosure,
right.
And all the neighbors are going to be going down there and saying, wait a minute, that house just sold for $90,000. You've got mine on the books at $150,000 or $200,000 or whatever it is. Therefore, mine's next door, across the street, whatever it is. So they're going to see a dramatic drop. This doesn't even begin to include the commercial stuff that's been hanging on by its nails, selling off their inventory at losses in order to pay the rent, pay the mortgage, pay the utilities and so forth. But when that inventory is gone and there's nothing left to do, they're going to close up. Job losses, vacancies in malls, which are historic. Here, even locally, they were talking about the glut of apartments. This is University of Florida. First time ever, they had 1,000 fewer students or something like that. And what happened? The prices of apartment housing here in town has dropped by anywhere from 10 to 25%. This is called marginal economics. When you're expecting a 97% occupancy rate and it drops to 87%, your rents drop more than that in order to keep it up. So it is a renter's market, if there ever was one. I mean, a rentee, what is it? Or it's the guy who wants to rent.
Renter.
It's their market today, and they're giving away stuff. They say, well, we're not reducing our rents, but the first 2 months are free. Well, hello.
By the way, shout out to Dan Bocabella. Hopefully, if he'll move back in the Siegel Building, we can really have another party thing going on.
Yeah.
So anyway, they ain't seen nothing yet, and they're not even remotely prepared for it. And I tell you, it's going to happen within the next 24 months as this stuff really hits the fan. As these appraisals come through and as the people walk down and they realize they can go down there and get a heck of a bite. Not so much here in Florida for residential, because we have the Save Our Homes, which is kind of misnamed, but in California it's like Prop 13. But in the rest of the states, the taxes have been going up rather regularly, rather dramatically with the housing boom, and it's going to be the other way. And in dramatically, and they haven't seen that yet.
Crazy.
So my point is this: if you think that we've bottomed out on any of this stuff,
no.
Lull before, this is the eye of the storm, the lull before,
calm before the storm.
Get your gold, get your lead.
Yeah, I mean, to give you an example of what length states go to, we're talking about Hawaii had raised their marginal income tax. Still not enough.
Not enough.
Hawaii, of all people, can you imagine this? Hawaii residents now taxed on Las Vegas winnings even if they, under the law, I mean, they're now taxed on winnings even if they lose.
Ooh.
Yeah. Here's the deal. You go. You
double
go,
because, win. Because, oh, right, you
because
won
Hawaii
in the meantime.
Is one of two states that has no gambling of any kind at all. No lottery, no paramutual, no nothing, okay? So what they do is they get the junkets to Vegas, and when you go to Vegas and you hit it big, you know, you hit the keno, you hit the craps table or whatever it is, or you know, the keno pays off $10,000. So you go back. So you go back to the blackjack table and lose it all back plus $1,000. You still owe on the $10,000. Can you imagine? I mean, you're a loser and then you are a loser. Totally. I mean, can you and to watch this, the justification of this? No shame. No shame of this at all. The state representative. Now, this is what I like.
Loser. Loser. Loser.
Let's see. You sit down to the blackjack table. You win a hand. You lose on the next one. You win another hand. You lose the next one, he said. And under the new law, you now owe taxes on all the winning hands, which are not offset by any of the losing hands, Kohara said. State Representative Pono Chong, any relation to Cheech and Chong, I wonder? Smoking a blunt when he put this one, I'll tell you. Who sponsored the legislation acknowledged...
Dave's not here!
...that Kohara is correct. The law is expected to add $300,000 a year to the Hawaii budget. Now, it means $300,000, I don't know what Hawaii's budget is, but it's got to be a billion or two or something, you know?
Yeah.
And $300,000 is like not even hardly a rounding error, and that's what they...
Don't get out, man.
I mean, can you imagine? I mean, the desperation that they're going through. Here in Gainesville, they raised some fees. Can you imagine if you decide, let me think now, if your parking meter expires, you know, you put in 50 cents or a dollar, whatever it is, for an hour, 2 hours, and you come and it expires, they wanted to charge you $30 as for an expired meter.
$30?
Well, it's 12 now, but I think it's going to go up to only... They said, I was watching the city representative say, well, 30 sounds like a lot to me. How about 20? I think they settled on 20. I'm going like... Joke, you know, these guys.
Well, they've already done it with all the speeding stuff. We've reported on, you know, Virginia. If you're a Virginia citizen now and you get a speeding ticket, it's $1,000.
No.
Stuff like that.
Fascinating.
And that's your first offense. And then the second offense is like $1,500 or $2,000. I mean,
do they ever take your car away?
You're selling it after
not for that
they
revenue.
Have no problem.
Hell
doing
no.
That, yeah. Man.
Yeah, no, right. I that was a rhetorical question.
Yeah, they
they do.
They give you a car.
What they
if
do
you
is
don't
they
have
give
one.
You what they do is after about the third offense, they get one of those drug cars that's all souped up and give that to you for your that's the clunker exchange.
Right.
So
they take that old clunker of yours that keeps getting tickets and they give you this new hopped up Mustang with 428 horsepower on it and say, yeah, here, drive this instead. This is our...
So get ready for that. All right, what else is happening, Jimmy?
Okay, the next thing is, I'm just kind of going through the list here. The
call me a pessimist, but I think it's time for a new plan.
Oh, yeah. No. Okay.
I love the fact that as part of the tightening of the noose here, they've decided to set up a panel here in Florida to decide who gets pain medicine. Apparently there are some drugs.
A little practice for health reform.
Hard to believe that there are some doctors in South Florida who are a little loose with the prescriptions.
Fast and
you
loose.
Know, for Oxycontin and Vicodin.
Where are they?
Yeah, right. I mean,
where
they're not here.
They?
Well, anyway, they want to do a whole new set of regulations to make sure that nobody gets away without plenty of pain. And so they're going to set up a panel of some doctors and I love this, and a citizen. Some citizen is going to be selected to decide who gets what. I mean, this is the beginning of the healthcare thing, you know?
Yeah.
This is what you create a joint committee to handle rulemaking with 5 members from the medical board and 2 osteopaths.
Wait, are they going to bring the people who are supposedly in pain in front of them? I don't think so.
No, they won't do that.
Well, whoever.
No, see, that's the beauty of being on one of these boards. What you do is you say you get to sit up in the high part of the castle. And then send them down to the dungeon and say, you guys take
God
care of it.
God bless America.
And say, you guys take care of it.
Those
and so you want to be out of the, you want to be out of earshot of the screen.
I'm in pain.
No,
I
don't
think they're in
no,
pain.
No, you don't get to.
Yeah! Oh, yeah! You son of a...
Anyway, they well, anyway, they did give the names of the people on this board, so we know who to bribe, and that all donations can be sent to the Jimmy Doan on our PayPal site there. So we want
absolutely.
But the problem is that they can't. They're having a little problem getting the money to actually set it up. So they're waiting for a federal grant. But anyway, they're going to develop an application for clinics to register for the state and what the fees will be and so forth. Anyway, the point is that new licensing for dispensing of pain medicine because it's getting out of control.
Well, you can't have enough licensing, in my opinion.
No, yeah. Well, that's right. Well, speaking of licensing here locally, and we're talking about the Hawaii thing on the gambling, locally we've got we have 7 home games this year. And if you're within about a mile of the university.
Florida football games.
Football games, right. Because Gators, you know, they're ranked number one this year so far. Haven't even played a game ranked number one. Mm-hmm. And so there's a chance that people are going to be coming in from out of town to park here to go to the game. Well, if you're within a mile of a stadium, you open up that front lawn and rake in the doski and, you know, to help pay taxes and stuff like that. Of course, you report it in the IRS and everything.
And, of course.
No, I mean, you know, and so you do all that.
And you sell lemonade.
You sell lemonade, you know.
Booze and right. Beers. And
that's right. Hot dog or two, whatever it is.
Hot dog or two,
but
right.
But it's like 3 hours, 7 times. You know, you get to do it for about 3 hours. Right. And you know, basically offsets. And it's kind of a fun thing. A lot of people have regulars that show up every year. This year, not satisfied. The city has decided to send out the enforcement cops, and they want everybody that has a lawn to pay a $52.50 licensing fee.
Wow.
Yes. I got a letter from them.
Unbelievable.
I got a letter from them that said...
Oh, you got a personal letter.
I got a... Well, yeah. I mean, personal as
form
in
letter.
Dear occupant.
Right. But no, the thing, it was addressed to you because you live like within a certain...
Right, because I live within
a blast
the...
blast zone
I live
of
in,
the...
That's right. I live within an EMP blast zone of the stadium. And
EMP
in fact,
of the stadium.
In fact, Jimmy has actually managed to, you know, offset.
Mrs. Jimmy didn't get one, what you're saying.
No.
Okay.
But Jimmy got one and had it here. And
unbelievable.
So they want, if you're going to charge, they want their, it's like a protection racket. It is exactly like the mafia.
You know, and it doesn't even take into account how much you charge or how big your lawn is or how many cars or anything. It's just
none of that.
$2.
It's like, $52.50. And that is, if you are planning on parking one car,
right.
You owe $52.50 for the license for the 1 year for the 7 games. And then next year, of course, so they figured it's, yeah. So anyway, the point is that needless to say, the people that have been doing this, this is a tradition here in Florida. I mean, for I don't know how many years, 20 years we've been
generations.
Parking.
Yeah,
generations, you know, if people have. I mean, you let your kids, especially the tenants, you know, sometimes you give the tenants a little break. You say for a lot of the rental property, the house, the rental property, you say, OK, you can do it, you know, and maybe the landlord gets a little cut of the action or piece of something. So anyway, the
piece.
Well, what do I know?
Huh.
So anyway, it depends on the gender. So the deal is, look, well, sometimes it doesn't, actually. I take it back. It doesn't always.
Red light district, blue light district,
whatever. It's all the same.
Yeah.
So anyway, so they said, well, we've had some complaints about cars, you know, messing up the place or something. Yeah. But so they decided to pass this law, and they decided to enforce it. So they're going to send out for codes enforcement people to check, and they're going to walk up. If you've got cars parked, they're going to want to come over and see if you've got a license. So they're going to, you know, spend, I don't know how much they get paid for the codes enforcement, but there's like 1,000 properties right around within a mile that park cars.
Yo, papers.
Well, what they said, their justification was typically, if you're close to the university, you can charge anywhere from $10 to $30 a car, and typically you might put somewhere between 10 and 15 cars on your lot. And so they did the math, and they said, well, we're entitled to, you know, 10% or whatever the $52 is, you know.
It's more than 10%. That's
25%. Well, no, there's 7 games.
Oh, that's for the whole year.
Yes, for the whole year.
Come back with a warrant.
Yeah. So anyway, needless to say, a lot of the people that have thought of this as a tradition, like it's like the tailgating party over at the, you know, at the near the field.
The property.
You know, they're up in arms. And, of course, then the city people are saying, well, this is to level the playing field. Every time I hear that, I just want to throw up.
Well, it's for the children, I'm sure.
No, actually, didn't put it for the children or the sick or the blind or the old people. It was to level the playing field for the commercial parking lots that do pay a fee. There's several of them around that pay the 50 because they park cars, of course, 24/7, 365 days a year.
It's so not fair for them because we charge them, so...
Yeah, right, exactly.
We got to charge you to make it fair.
Yes, right, exactly right, exactly right. We're level the playing field. The way they level the playing field is they bring in a whole lot of dump. And they level it out by filling it up is what they do, you know. This. So it's stunning, and of course I'm going to meet... Jimmy's going to meet with his representative tomorrow, actually. I have an appointment with my rep, and I might ask him about that. I don't know.
Well, who are you meeting tomorrow again?
The city of Gainesville is divided into five districts, and we have seven commissioners. Two of them are at large, and five of them are...
Two of them are at large.
Very large. But mine is, here, District 1 or whatever. I'm going to go down and... Now, he's
Are you meeting him, for, like, latte or something, or what?
No, for an hour in his office.
For a little face-to-face.
But he's a commie.
A little mono-y.
And so, it's going to be kind of an interesting thing. But I'm going to talk to him about...
Jimmy Dunn card?
Probably will. Yeah, probably will. It'll be good. Now,
haven't heard back from the old stationeroo, huh?
That's right.
Jimmy Doan kindling or something, because we know they're going to burn. So
yeah, right.
Take this for your fireplace.
Now it's I don't know. So that's it. But I mean, there's no limit when you read these articles, and there were several of them in the last month that I pulled down. I couldn't get all to it, but it is stunning to watch the lengths. And what they'll try and tax, and what I'm going to do is to bring that Hagar cartoon down to this guy. It shows the two tax collectors walking up to Hagar, and they say your taxes for your hut or something,
castle,
for your sword taxes are due. And he says, sword? He says, what? He says, the next thing you know, you'll be taxing the air. And they look at each other and go, air?
Good idea.
Good idea, right? So that's... We've talked about that before.
Well,
that's
a Scrooge McDuck thing, with the quarter to breathe. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's I beat that to death. The next thing I've got, and this is something that, because you used to have a boa constrictor or something, didn't you, counselor?
I love this story. This is the one where they want to ban killing the snakes. Is that
No. They had a snake hunt.
They did?
They did have a snake hunt in the Everglades. It's gotten like 10,000 snakes or something.
All right.
What happened was, for anybody who's
not in Florida,
there was a girl, a little 2-year-old girl, that was strangled by their pet python. And she died.
Where, like, in like Cocoa Beach or somewhere?
Yeah, Cocoa Beach, right, whatever. Yeah, someplace, whatever. So now, what do you think they want to do?
What was her name?
Right.
Oh, yeah, right. Exactly. What was her name? Oh, good point.
That will tell us the new law.
Right. I had forgotten about that.
Right. Yeah. Kaylee Bogans,
maybe,
law.
Yeah, no. Maybe 2-year-old
maybe
girl.
Maybe Jessica. They've already done it.
Let's see just here.
Maybe Haley.
It's going to be the Bonnie Boa law.
Yeah, it is.
Bunny Boa.
They want to forbid owning pythons.
Mm-hmm.
If the ban isn't put in place, other reptiles of concern will be put on. Could be
T-Rex. T-Rex? Got a problem with that?
Well, not quite. Actually, though, there is a fairly good-sized lizard that is...
Komodo dragon?
Yeah, Komodo dragons. Let's see. Could adopt a ban on its own. Passing laws prohibits such reptiles as pets. Ban other reptiles of concern. This would include the Nile monitor lizard, the Indian python, the reticulated python, the African rock python, amistine or scrub python, and green anaconda.
How about the one-eyed viper?
Well, I don't know. Apparently, anyway, I didn't realize this. A state regulation already requires people who own reptiles of concern. I love that. It's like we have a person of concern to be wanting to talk about the murder, to register their pets with the state and pay a $100 fee. Did you know that?
Yeah. I think I registered mine.
Microchips must be inserted in the reptiles, and they and their owners, so that they and their owners can be identified if their pets escape or release.
Microchips must be inserted into your pet.
Yeah.
That's like Blade Runner, man.
It is, man.
Yeah, it's really great.
I mean, this is bizarro world, Jimmy.
Well, again, the other thing was that they had this thing where they wanted to have, like you said, the snake hunt. Again, a lot of people, for the listeners that aren't in Florida, a lot of people, they buy these really cute little neat boa constrictors and stuff like that.
They're like a foot long.
Yeah, they're a foot long. And then they grow. And then when it finally lays a turd, that looks like a VW bus and smells, just as bad or whatever. And then they say, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and just maybe, I'm not going to kill the snake. I'm going to let it go.
Yeah, I don't want to kill it. No, Pete would be all over it.
Right. So yeah, exactly. So they let it go in the Everglades. And so there's a nice breeding population of all kinds of...
And the Everglades, stuff. You have to understand that the Everglades is like half the size of Texas. I mean,
it's huge.
It's huge. So, I mean, there's plenty of room.
Right.
There was that picture, that one python that was swallowing an alligator or something. Yeah, I mean, that's how big they get.
But again, they wanted to thin out the snake population.
They did, and they found 110,000 of them, it says here. They did...
But it was a government... sponsored program.
Well, yeah,
it?
But I mean, it's kind of like, yeah, they thin the herd. Let's see, it says here.
I mean, all you have to do is just say, hey, man, go out there and catch your snakes and make snakes.
Oh, no, 110,000 Burmese pythons have been imported to Florida since 1990, and tens of thousands may be loose on state and federal lands, including the Everglades.
Wow, 110,000 Burmese pythons have been imported?
Since 1990, yeah.
Wow, 110,000, that's a lot.
Yeah, and that's, well, that's the Burmese pythons. I mean, forget about the ones from every place else, you know. But yeah, they so they want to, this is the little girl in the mine shaft. A girl was killed by a pet python, therefore we will ban them all and everything else we can think of. That's just, they're
and
just
put a microchip in it and tax you and do whatever else.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, just, yeah.
If it'll save one life, Jimmy.
Yeah, just save one life. Well, I'll tell you, that's what
it's a free country.
What else?
Free country.
What else we got, Jim?
Okay, the next thing is, I saw where the police now...
We got about 5 minutes.
Okay, the police can use force to compel hurricane evacuation now, it says. And speaking of force, let me see if I got that other one here.
They can, for your own good, they can force you out of your home, huh?
Yeah, they can come by. Now, it says here, I thought it was kind of interesting, they said...
So you got to hide.
This is in Texas.
Now.
New state law will allow police to arrest people who don't leave town under mandatory evacuation orders. As the official stance, they can't compel people to evacuate, only warn those who stay behind that they won't have any emergency services.
So disposal. Now you got to hide in your home.
Yeah, new law gives county judges and mayors the power to authorize reasonable force to remove people
you know
from
what
the
that
area.
Is, right?
Yeah, that's a taser.
Well, not only that, but reasonable force is the force necessary to accomplish what you have to do.
Right.
So I mean... If arrest them is what it is, you know, that could mean beat the crap out of you with a stick and chuck you in the car. I mean,
well, not only that, what happens if you what happens if you come any closer, I'll shoot, kind of thing. You know, you'll never take me alive. Well, guess what? I mean, that's reasonable forces. They won't take you alive. That's right. You're going to be dead. Okay. So it also
I got another cop thing too. But go ahead.
I got one more after this one. Anyways, it also fires and floods, other disasters. The it was interesting. County Judge Lloyd Neal agreed that arrests for ignoring orders are unlikely. We don't have a jail big enough to put 20,000 people. You have to hope people use good sense, and the majority of people do.
To rely on that is just stupid. If they're unlikely, then why pass the law?
Exactly. You know? Well, because as I've always said, if it's good for you, if it's really good thing, you don't need a law.
No.
I mean, people do.
You don't.
Officials could mandatory evacuation for beaches. Giving police the authority to arrest people who go storm watching and put themselves in danger. And here it is. A man died after being swept off a Packery Channel jetty last summer and so forth. A man died, so there you have it.
There's your new law.
And, of course, coincident with that is the new policy in Chicago.
What's that?
Allows police to shoot at fleeing cars. The Chicago Police Department has instituted a major change in policy regarding the use of deadly force. Effective next Monday, which is like last Monday, police officers will be able to fire their guns under circumstances where they previously could not. The new policy from Police Superintendent Jody Weiss was confirmed by whatever it is, News Radio 780, allows police officers to, to shoot at fleeing vehicles if the driver or passengers are suspected of committing a felony. The old policy allowed officers only to shoot at vehicles that pose a threat to them or others, such as if the driver were trying to run down an officer.
Well, is it a felony?
But now the officers need not be under attack to open fire.
Well, and a felony is...
A felony is littering, right?
It could be. Or how about fleeing and looting?
Yeah, fleeing and looting.
Yeah. In the car.
In the car,
right.
Pretty much any time, you know, that pretty much means if you're trying to get away, you can get shot.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it's suspected.
Oh, yeah.
Wait. Well, no, he was committing a felony because he was running away.
Right. Well, no, you're still suspected, though, because you haven't been convicted in court of law.
Oh, that's true. Can you imagine?
You're not even suspicious, but we're going to search you anyway.
If you are not suspect, then
you make yourself more suspect.
that is funny.
Another one that we had in the last couple of weeks is a fake police dog was uncovered.
What?
I think Eric sent me this.
Yeah, the police dog was it was a
this
fake.
Police dog that this cop and his famous police dog had been convicting people for 20 years.
Yeah.
Based on this dog's
20 years? So this dog must be like old.
Well, and in fact the owner just died.
Ah.
But he was never charged or anything with a crime. They figured out the dog couldn't smell crap.
Couldn't smell. Probably
crap.
That's all he could smell.
Yeah, no, seriously,
was crap.
Like, a judge finally did a test on the dog, and the dog failed miserably.
Yeah.
And it was just, this guy would come in and testify just routinely about how good the dog's sense of smell was, how he tracked you know, even the defendant in the courtroom right now, you know, we just tracked him in here and that kind of stuff. I mean, just
and
ridiculous.
It was totally bogus.
Totally bogus.
And there was like all kinds of people sent to jail.
Oh, yeah.
And for, like for years. So they're incarcerated
way. I mean, basically, if you have a dog in Florida, you don't need probable cause. I mean, your dog is probable cause. Just name the dog PC.
Probable cause.
What's
the PC stand for?
Probable.
Oh my God, so are any of these people going to get out? This actually was discovered.
This kind of thing where these people won't find out.
You say that because as I recall from reading that article, that was actually uncovered by that outfit in Michigan that does the research for people that think that they're...
There's a few organizations out there.
This is one of the big ones that does
And actually, I think the thing came out because a guy who'd been in there for like 20 years, the DNA evidence didn't
finally exonerate
them. But they're still... Prisoners are still scraping for their rights in terms of getting the DNA tests and getting this kind of evidence admitted in a new trial.
Yeah, I think we talked about one. They did... There was, I don't know if I might have thrown it out. I was going to talk about it last time, but the judge, there was a bunch of children that had been somehow totally mishandled, whatever it was, something along those lines. And it was a couple years ago, molested and everything else. And the judge said, well, it's too late. You can't do anything about it. I mean, it was just the most heinous thing you can imagine.
Heinous.
And the judge said, yeah, tough shit. Mm. Pardon me. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Let's wrap it up.
All right. Thanks, guys, for tuning in to the Jimmy Dolan Show.
Woo-hoo!
And, before we go, I want to say one more thing, and that is naturally the state of California issued all those IOUs to pay for stuff. They're not taking them back. If you want to use your California IOUs to pay your bill, no, we're not. We give you that money. We don't take it back, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's not legal tender to the state.
To the state.
Where do they legalize the pot out there?
Yeah. That'll be legal.
Well, that's unbelievable, really. Yeah, what's Schwarzenegger doing? I thought he wanted $40 billion, right?
We'll talk about that on next show. I hope some of this stuff got on Justin TV before it quit, but it would be kind of fun anyway.
Well, I think if you go to Justin TV, of course, you know, nobody was here switching any cameras, so it's all Jimmy.
What? No, didn't he switch for a while?
Yeah, three cuts. There was three cuts tonight.
Well, but Jimmy is the most important one.
I understand.
So,
I'm all about it.
Okay.
It's all Jimmy.
It's like
all
Michael
Jimmy
Jackson
all the time.
It's like Michael Jackson. You know this.
That's it. It's a 24/7 Jimmy thing.
The three Michael Jackson channels.
Yeah, if you go to Jimmy Justin TV, I don't know. If you search for Jimmy, I'll put a link to it or something like that.
Well,
like,
okay.
There you go. All righty, guys. Thanks so much, and thanks again, Counselor Bart, for all those cool gifts and goodies.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
We're gonna put some up.
Oh,
here,
we should have shown them.
Well, the thing is that we have to put them up on the walls here, so we actually have some nice scenery.
That's coming.
And again,
the only decoration we have now is our $1 bill we got from New Zealand or whatever.
Our $1.
That's right.
Or whatever it was. All right.
All righty, Gillies. Rock and roll.
Cool.
Listen to Hanger Dogs.
Oh yeah, don't forget. They got like 9 shows to our one.
Dude, they're doing like a show a day.
Yeah.
They like don't even work anymore. All they do is shows. your national security is very much in danger because all they do is shows.
I don't even have the freaking time to read Stitch's email. I mean, he must.
Yeah, man, he puts them out there. Gotta love him. Yeah.
They're playing basketball. They're playing basketball. They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
Basketball is my favorite sport. I like the way they dribble up and down the court. Just like I am the king of the microphone, so is Dr. J and Moses Malone. I like slam dunks. They take it to the hoop. My favorite shot is the alley-oop basketball.